turn again to God's Word. We'll read now from Psalm 134, which will be our text for this morning. Psalm 134, found on that same page we read from earlier in the Bible, page 715. Hear now God's holy word, a song of ascents. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. And that concludes a reading of God's Word. Well, our text for this morning is Psalm 134. I encourage you to have that open before you as we'll be looking at that passage together. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you may have noticed, this is the last of the songs of ascents within this section of the Psalter. These songs, as we have said, are about people making their way to the annual feasts in Zion. And they would worship and be in fellowship with God's people. The beginning psalm, Psalm 120, starts with a sense of getting away from the ungodly and hostile surroundings. As the psalmist recounted, I am for peace, but all these are for war. It was as if the pilgrims were saying, we're out of here, and we want to be in the best place that we can possibly be in God's presence. And then in Psalm 121, we saw that this was the wayfarer psalm, as they looked to the Lord for His blessing upon their journey, that it would be safe. Then in Psalm 122, the Jerusalem psalm, they had arrived to that destination, to the dwelling place of the Lord, where the law of God was, the Word, where it was read and proclaimed. And then they worshiped the Lord and recounted all His goodness to them, as we saw in Psalms 124 and following. And now in Psalm 134, the festival service comes to an end. And there's almost something kind of bittersweet about this, as if it's a sad thing that is taking place. It's kind of like reading a good novel where everything that you've really enjoyed about the book comes to a close. And the characters in the book say their final goodbye to one another, and the book draws to a rising conclusion. Or like the ending of a good film where, you know, the credits are coming down the screen and the musical score is being played. We also go through these experiences where we go through a busy work week, but then we come to a Sunday and to services where His Word refreshes us and strengthens us, and we're humbled again in God's presence and made to see really how small and insignificant we are, that we're just simple human flesh, nothing apart from the grace of God. But we're encouraged by the Lord's constant blessing to us. And that's how we really need to see ourselves at the end of another year and at the beginning of the next year. We need God's blessing and help. God in all His goodness must smile upon us and show His favor, or else we cannot go on another day. And this is how these pilgrims felt as they came to the conclusion of these festivals that they had in Jerusalem. They needed the blessing of the Lord. And this psalm could be broken down into two voices here. There's the voice of the pilgrims speaking to those who minister to them. Like a Sunday service, they shake the hands of the ministers and the elders and speak of their need for the Lord's blessing to be upon them. But there's also the voice of those whom they're addressing, namely the priests of God who offer God's service to His people as they close off this week of festivities. And that's how we want to consider these words today under the theme, God bless you. We see this as a prayer for this new year. Looking at it with 2 points. First of all, the pilgrim's parting encouragement to the ministers. And then secondly, the minister's parting blessing to the pilgrims. So first of all, the pilgrim's parting encouragement to the ministers. This first part of the psalm calls attention to God's ministers, His servants, who are responsible for the service in the temple. And there are some passages in the Bible that describe this. One is 1 Chronicles chapter 9, where the responsibilities are spelled out there. The Levites were in charge of the temple both day and night. We see in verse 1 the description of their task in the customary word stand, which refers to the service of the priests and the Levites. Therefore, these retiring pilgrims were stirring up their brothers who were appointed to keep watch over the house of God. While they rejoiced in the Lord, they were encouraging them to carry on in their service on behalf of God's people. The Levites and the priests were divided into groups and assigned different periods of tasks. You may remember this from the story of John the Baptist and his father, Zacharias. According to the custom of the priesthood, the lot fell on him for the burning of incense when he was called upon to go into the temple. This work is described very nicely by one author. He says, at the time of the second temple, the chief of the gatekeepers went at midnight, bearing with him the massive keys of the inner temple, and taking along with him some of the priests, whereupon they all ducked through the wicket gate of the large fire gate. Beyond it, they patrolled their courtyard in two companies to make all ready for worship once the sun came up. Their task was to clean up the mess in the abattoir. Then in readiness for the first sacrifice of the dawn, they had to drive the necessary number of sheep into the holding pens. These priests then went on to clean up the bakehouse where the bread of the high priest was baked. And those who still go on their duty were then aroused from their sleep. These latter had now to bathe and put on their garments to be ready before the first light. But notice here in particular, in verse 1, that they were summoned to do something of real importance. Behold, these retiring pilgrims say, bless the Lord. And it may seem like a casual remark, but it shows their deep concern for the glory of God. As they lay their heads on their pillows at night, they want this to be their simple aim in all that they do. That's what this phrase, bless the Lord, means. To speak well of the Lord. To think well of Him. To draw near Him with adoration and exaltation. Not to be content without a word or thought or action of praise for the Lord. Spurgeon said, may blessed and blessing be two words which describe our lives. Let others flatter their fellows or bless their stars or praise themselves. As for us, we will bless the Lord from whom all blessings come. As you probably will remember, this is the great aim of the first question and answer of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man, it asks. And it answers, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. There are many who think that glorifying God is a contradiction. If I am going to enjoy my life here on earth, then how can yielding my life to the Lord be a good thing? It's so opposite. There's no contradiction in losing yourself in the Lord and for His glory instead of living for your own glory. So many today are living for themselves. People are mindless, thoughtless, careless, selfish. James Boyce, minister of the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, used to say that because we're living in a technological age and in a day of entertainment with average American households having their television on for 7 hours a day, it's programming us to think that the chief end of man is to amuse himself. And he asks, how can people whose minds are filled with brainless babble of the evening sitcoms have anything but trivial thoughts when it comes to God's house on a Sunday morning, if in fact they have thoughts about God at all? How can they appreciate His holiness if their heads are full of the moral muck of the talk shows? We have to say today that we still live in that kind of a day. We live in a very self-absorbed, man-centered age. And the church has sadly been affected by all of this. Brothers and sisters, your 2015 will not be fulfilling to you if you are not living for the glory of God, redeeming the time. What plans do you have for this year to fill your mind with better things other than the moral rot of society? We need to be considering what is the single biggest time waster in our lives that is eating up our precious time. What is it that is keeping us from growing in our walk with the Lord? Perhaps there are some changes that need to be made so that we can redeem the time and be more efficient with it. Another thing to consider is, what is one thing that you could do to increase your enjoyment of God this year? What is one thing that you could do to make yourself better equipped for the Lord's service? Have you ever read the Bible from cover to cover, for example? Well, maybe you need to consider a Bible reading program, one that helps you to read the entire Bible. You need to be spending more time in the study of God's Word because, let's be very frank here, some of us struggle with this. We struggle with our devotional life. Maybe it is even non-existent. But you need to be immersing yourself more in prayer. What is the one thing that you could do to make your prayer life better? You need to make that a priority for the new year as well. Or what single thing can we do this year that will matter the most next year? Or in 10 years? What impact will it have on you and others? Let's not be oblivious to God or others in 2015. Let's do all that we can to bless the Lord, to think well of Him, to be mindful of Him in all that we say and do, and to honor Him in our lives. Well, the psalm continues to speak in that same vein of praise to God in the next verse. In verse 2, the pilgrims are saying, please lift up your hands in the holy place. And we almost get a little bit edgy when we have people who may lift up their hands in the worship service. It may make us Reformed people feel a little bit uneasy when we see someone outside of our circles do this. But we have to keep in mind that this is describing to us the posture of prayer. The Jews in these days would often stand for prayer, and they would have their eyes open while they did this. The posture of prayer included the lifting up of hands. It is what Paul talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, where he speaks about the lifting up of holy hands to God in prayer. Well, here the pilgrims are encouraging the priests and Levites to remember them in that way. It's like saying, pray for me. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary as you remember me and my companions. As you remember us, bless the Lord. And that's like a member of the church speaking to the minister and the elders and deacons and requesting that prayer be offered for them. That's something that you are encouraged to do as well. Please remember me in prayer, they say. I need the Lord's direction. I need wisdom. I need His encouragement. But this request comes along with some confidence, you see, because the Old Testament priests had been set aside by the Lord to do this work. And truly, it is an amazing thing, and the amazing grace of God that He blesses His people that they, in turn, can bless Him. That's a picture of a man that's blessed in the Lord by Him, that he should be invited to turn, to bestow on the Lord praises and blessings. That's exactly what the writer means in Psalm 103 when he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." But you know what? We have this opportunity this day to do the very same thing. The priests in the Old Testament, were the only ones who had that access into God's sanctuary. No one else but them could do this as they interceded on behalf of the people. But now, in Christ, we have a high priest who has made us holy, that is free of sin, that's free of guilt and pollution that sin brings to us. And He calls us as His priests, as His servants, to pray for one another, to bring God's blessing on those who are needy. And as we begin in this new year, there are also others who have spiritual needs and who need to be blessed by the Lord in some way. For example, for whose salvation will you pray for most fervently this year? Who are you going to pray for? Maybe there is someone in your own family who needs prayer in a certain way, or there's someone in someone else's family that needs prayer in that way. Who is the person you most want to encourage this year? Who are you going to show support to, and how are you going to do this? And what is the most helpful new way you could strengthen our church? How might we grow more in fellowship? What can you do to be of help to someone here? Well, these are some questions that we need to consider more deeply as we begin this year and to seek the Lord in what we say and do. And we can only do this, of course, by God's grace to us in Jesus Christ. Well, not only is there the parting encouragement to the ministers, secondly, we see the ministers' parting blessing to these pilgrims. Verse 3 goes on to say, "The Lord bless you from Zion." And this is the voice of the ministers and the sanctuary. It's a prayer, but it's more than a prayer. It's a benediction. It's a prayer, but also a pronouncement. And that's why it's appropriate during the worship service to have your eyes fully open when it comes to the benediction. When the minister raises his hands at the close of every service to bring the parting blessing, this is not a prayer that is being uttered. It's the word of the Lord to you. Now, what is being said here? Well, there's a couple of things. This blessing being enacted is not just for the time that these pilgrims were in Jerusalem, but it was for their whole lives. It was as if the priests and the Levites were saying, "May you be blessed in Zion, but throughout your whole life." This was not a useless, empty ceremony. We see this so clearly in the Aaronic benediction that we frequently use in our own service from Numbers chapter 6, where it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." God's people were actually blessed through this expression in Numbers 6, and they enjoyed the Lord's favor. All the priests of the Old Testament, Aaron and his descendants, stood in the shadow of the great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has fulfilled the scriptures by laying down his life. And as the high priest, he brought the sacrifice himself. And after he brought this sacrifice, which was acceptable to God, you remember that Jesus lifted up his hands and blessed his disciples just before he ascended into heaven. And today, in Christ's name, the minister raises his hands and puts the name of the Lord upon you. That's why this practice of pronouncing God's blessing is very rich from our perspective as we look back and see what Christ has done. We need this blessing from Zion. God's blessing is so important. Imagine enjoying the favor of the wealthiest person in the world. He was willing to help you out in any way that he could, and yet all his riches could not buy you health, nor could it sustain you through a very difficult illness. Regardless of how wealthy or powerful someone is, there's always a limitation on what man can do. But with God, there are no boundaries. With him, all things are possible. And out of his limitless riches, he blesses those who fear him. By God's providence, we don't know what 2015 is going to hold for us. None of us knows what God has in store for us. There might be difficult days ahead, but know that those who fear the Lord will never lack any good thing from him. And we think of the blessing of Aaron in number 6. The word "keep" is very important there. It means to exercise great care over, or to give attention to and guard. The Lord watches over his people and keeps them from danger and harm. In the context of the Israelites, they had all kinds of enemies around them. They were to be kept safe from them. They needed that protection from harm and danger, and you do too. You might be a careful person, you're a careful driver. You follow all the tips that your driver's ed instructor gave you. You keep your proper distance from other drivers, and you watch your speed on icy surfaces. You can do all the right things, and yet you still need the Lord to keep you, to protect you in all your ways. Furthermore, we hear of God's blessing in this way: the Lord make his face shine upon you. The face of God is another way of talking about his personality and his moods and thoughts. God's shining face is an assurance that his grace has been poured out on us. He is not angry anymore with us, though we're undeserving of his goodness. Consider, congregation, that this year you will need the Lord's grace to completely forgive you of all your sins. You need a Savior in order to experience the shining face of the Father. Let's never forget that the penalty for our sins has already been borne by Christ. Christ has laid the penalty for sins and He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Moreover, you need the Lord lifting up His countenance upon you. And this is similar to having God's face shine on us, except that the thought gets developed a little bit more. God's face is lifted up over us, which is another sign of God's favor. But the main difference is that God is looking directly at us, and He's giving us His full attention. And you might need to go through surgery this year. But God is overseeing all the details of the surgery that you need. He's constantly watching over you and leading you. Or you might need a larger place to live because the place that you live is not adequate room for your family. But you may not have enough money to buy. And perhaps the Lord might be calling you to be content with a smaller home. But be aware of the fact that His attention will always be on you. When you're blessed by Him, you will be assured that He remembers you and He knows your needs. And then also we have that promised shalom, that peace, which is a very full and rich word. It means prosperity, completeness, health, safety, and general well-being. In other words, it involves God's blessing on us physically and spiritually. And we need that. We need the peace of God. We need to be assured that the Lord is looking down on us in His peace. We rely on Him for good health and safety and for protection. But there's something else that's being communicated in this parting blessing in Psalm 134. The blessing comes from Him who made heaven and earth. And what is the meaning of this? Well, it means that God is always working. There's no circumstance where God is not working. God is bigger than everything that we face. He's there for us. We're so blessed in Him, and that can be our theme for this year, for 2015. He's there for us in every way. As one of those ministers in the sanctuary, I also extend the Lord's richest blessings to you and your family in 2015. To be blessed by God is no small thing. It's more than just a wish. It's not just some words that we use to close off the service. It's the divine promise of God's blessing and peace and fellowship that it will be with us all our days. And when we receive it with that kind of attitude, we enjoy it. And we appreciate the effectiveness that it has in our lives. There's no question. God will bless His people. He will bless us in the new year. At home, at school, at work, in our church activities. And so receive then this blessing of the Lord. Receive it each Sunday. Receive it again today as you enter 2015. Amen.